Hi, I'm Ray Hager, standing in for Sam Shad, and welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is Mike Higdon, who's the City Life reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal. And on our pundit panel, we have Robin Reedy, Susan Fisher, and John Sandy IV. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is Mike Higdon. He's the City Life reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal. Welcome to you, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. First thing I wanted to ask you about is Reno's oldest downtown building, the Reno Mercantile and Mason Lodge,
right,
constructed in 1872, is going to be torn down.
Right.
Maybe, why is such a iconic historical building in downtown being raised?
So the Whitney Peak Hotel had been working on it for 4 years to try to essentially shore it up, because engineering-wise, it's in really bad condition.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from various historical preservationists and the engineer that there's two walls. There's the inner wall of the building made of brick and the outer wall. And usually there's some kind of either a concrete glue or some kind of a masonry item that keeps those walls together. But because there's water damage that allowed water to leak through those, it's essentially disintegrated. So when they rebraced the internal wall, the external wall wasn't holding on to anything. So the risk there is that, you know, the inside could be safe, but you have an earthquake or like a big bad wolf huffs and puffs at it, the whole outer walls could peel away. And if people are on the sidewalk, it could either injure or kill people if those walls start to fall down.
Oh, wow. Now, Whitney Peak, didn't they put in like $250,000 to try to save this, but it was just to no avail?
Right. There's tons of new lumber bracing on the interior that mm-hmm. was holding all that together. But Paul Ferrari, the engineer, said that it's just not enough. And he's on the Historic Resource Commission, even though they don't like to associate his engineering work with that. But he's essentially said that it's not really safe. The city engineers who looked at it also said it wasn't safe. That's why they put those fences around it, so that people wouldn't walk near it. And I've also seen a video of someone ripping brick off and crumbling it in his hands. So in general, it just feels like not a good situation to put businesses into.
Well, a brick from that mercantile place would make a good souvenir, just like when they tore down or they blew up the Mapes. This is something I'm confused about, Mike. You've written about street ambassadors mm-hmm. in downtown Reno cleaning up the downtown. I just don't get this. Is this going to start later this month? And what are these ambassadors? Who's paying them? Maybe if you could tell me about these.
Right, so previously downtown was like, there's a mapped area basically from roughly Keystone to Valley previously, or Evans Street, uh-huh. and then 9th around the university down to the Wild Orchid Strip Club. And that was the special assessment district. So that used property taxes. So essentially if you paid $1,000 in your property taxes in like the Montage, they would add a percentage based on like the size of your unit and all that, and you'd pay like, let's say, an additional $50 toward police and maintenance. But the business improvement district is takes that concept and turns it into a nonprofit instead. And that way, the business improvement district handles that, and it actually expanded the area by a couple blocks on the east and west, and then it also hired these ambassadors. So these ambassadors are actually part of a group called Street Plus that is sort of like a temp agency. So instead of the business improvement district hiring a ton of ambassadors and going through the training and trying to reinvent the wheel, they hired a group that's been doing it for like 25 years. So these folks will be wearing like blue t-shirts with ambassadors on the back, and they'll go around, and there's different areas. So Virginia Street is like a street plus or a premium plus area. So like it's daily power washes and weed abatement and cleaning and all that kind of thing. And then as it goes out into the edges, there's less and less features that come with those ambassadors. But those 15 people are supposed to cover that whole area. In addition to the small staff that they're gonna hire, will be marketing it for tourism. So it's sort of like how RSCVA markets the region, the BID would market downtown. And then you'd also have people who try to build economic development. So like what, again, EDON does for the whole region, the BID will do for downtown.
Okay. You know, in a lot of your stories, I keep running across the same name, Jacobs Entertainment out of Colorado. Mm-hmm. They seem to have bought up huge chunks of downtown real estate. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe expand on that? Is that the case?
Right. So if you have kind of the downtown core where the casinos are, like Virginia Street area, his plan is taking West 4th Street, starting at the, I think, the West Street area where the motels were there, and just moving west all the way to Keystone to the Chevron that's out there. And so he's been buying up parcel after parcel kind of slowly over the last 2 years. And I've built a map where you can just kind of see like this whole area. So it started out as like a couple of acres, and I think now it's up to 30 acres worth of land. And he's been demolishing motels and vacant merchants and so on. And the goal is to, I believe, to become essentially like a ground lease owner. So he would own the land and then essentially lease the land to developers, which is kind of similar to other developments where you don't actually build and own everything, but maybe you lease it to like an entertainment district, someone who can build retail, someone who can build an apartment complex, something like that. And then, so you'll have kind of a mix of tenants in that way.
Okay, I want to ask you one more thing before we take a break.
Sure.
Is that it seems like this demolishing of the motels and the gentrification of downtown Reno, where do poor people live anymore? I mean, you call it quote unquote affordable housing, but for the poor, that's not affordable. What happens to those people? Do they fall through the cracks? Is the city concerned about that?
They do fall through the cracks, and they either end up getting pushed into other motels that have some vacancies, so now those hotels are really packed, and then they end up falling into homelessness or the homeless shelter, so then the city and the Volunteers of America shelter has to handle that. So the city is finally kind of catching up, and so is the state, and they're opening a new emergency shelter on Galletti Way, or actually it's not an emergency shelter, it's more of like a care wraparound services shelter. Uh-huh. And then the city just approved money to do kind of a puzzle piece housing project where people can figure out how to get help through their website. So those are all starts, but I feel like that movement and people being displaced is happening much faster than the state and the county and everyone can keep up.
Okay, Mike, let's take a break right here. We'll be back with Mike Higdon of the Reno Gazette Journal, the City Life Reporter, right after these few words.
At first, I thought we were in love, but then the abuse started. The worst literally almost killed me. When charges were pressed, I had no idea how confusing the legal process could be. But having equal rights to my abuser would have helped me in my understanding of what was happening in my case.
It's a story that happens too often in Nevada, but we can fix it. Question One will ensure crime victims are informed,
giving victims the right to notification and a voice in the process. Crime victims deserve equal rights.
Vote yes on Question One.
Here's Nevada constitutional law scholar Ian Bartram.
I studied question 3 carefully. 3 would lock electricity deregulation into our state constitution. This is a terrible idea. Locking deregulation in our constitution would put a huge legal roadblock in the way of fixing problems deregulation creates, like the soaring electric rates and rolling blackouts deregulation caused in other states. I urge no on 3 to stop this risky and costly constitutional amendment.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest is Mike Higdon, the City Life reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal, who's built quite a following for his work in the RGJ. Mike, what I wanted to get into next are these Lime shareable bicycles.
Right.
Okay, now the contract with Lime is going to expire in Sparks, and they're not going to deal with these folks anymore.
Right.
Where Reno is going to re-up their contract, but you know, Lime is perhaps I have this wrong, but didn't they try to get motorized scooters involved in this in the city of Reno without even getting the permission of the city council?
Right. So the regional franchise agreement ends January 31st of next year. So that's kind of like the pilot period. So Lime. It seems like there was a misunderstanding because you kind of hear different things from each side, but essentially Lime brought in electric scooters and they thought it was okay to launch these because the scooters make them more money because they're a little bit more expensive per ride.
Mm-hmm.
And people tend to ride them more because they're faster and you can go further distances and so on. So they launched these scooters and the city was like, we didn't say that it was okay.
Yeah.
And so if you go back to the tape at the city council meeting, the city manager was like, maybe we should wait for this and push this off a little bit and approve them a little bit later. And the reason is because the city's attorneys interpret them as mopeds, which requires a little license that you have to get. And it's a lot different than an electric bicycle, which just follows similar bicycle laws, except they go faster. So the interpretations go back and forth. The Nevada DMV says the scooters are electric bicycles, but the university and the city think that they're mopeds. So it mixes up the whole thing. So essentially, you and I riding them without a license would be deemed illegal by the city unless we had a specific license for it and a helmet and all that.
Do these have a scheduled date when they're going to arrive in Reno and be available for use?
Not anymore. So the city staff wants to work on finding ways to change that ordinance, but it's also kind of a legislative issue because we don't have a law in between it. We have electric bikes and then we have mopeds and there's nothing in between. But there's also Segways, there's all these other new devices coming out that kind of fall in the gray area. So now they have to go to the legislature and you know better than I do that could take a long time to get a little electric scooter law passed.
Right, unless you have the right lobbyist who can move it through. But what about Sparks? Now I know City Life is mostly about Reno, so mm-hmm. if I'm going off the track here, let me know. But Sparks is not renewing their contract with Lime. Are they looking for another bicycle share operation?
Right. So the city manager in Sparks' attitude was essentially that Lime kind of burned them pretty hard launching those scooters and then not really contacting them about the communication issues. So they voted unanimously to deny re-upping the contract in January. So the bikes can stay in Sparks until the end of January, but after that, Sparks is done with them. And they were pretty much saying that enough other share companies were interested in coming into Sparks that they could basically pick whoever they wanted. And there's other companies, there's at least 4 others that are kind of major ones.
Uh-huh.
So Sparks could easily just say, well, if Reno wants to keep it, that's fine, but we're going to go with someone else.
You know, when I see these Lime bikes, well, I see them in really odd places, you know, like in the river, mm-hmm. on top of the bridge, way out, near the freeway, Do a lot of these bikes get destroyed, and does Reno destroy more bikes than other municipalities?
Lima said that their internal data shows that we destroy them at a higher rate than in other cities. So they said that about 9 get destroyed every week. And we weren't able to get that access to the exact data yet, but so we have to take their word for it that essentially we're destroying at least twice the rate. And so that's starting to kind of freak them out because those bikes aren't cheap. They cost, I think, roughly $400 to $600 each because
they're made
with a lot of parts that are different than regular bikes. And, you know, you start losing the, you know, 9 bikes a week, and it starts to get a little hard to replace them all. So right now they have 550 or so in the city. But if you do the math at how many they're losing, it's like, I'm sure they're replacing them, but they maybe have replaced half the fleet by now, it seems like.
Wow, that's not a good look for our community. Mike, now, just this past month, or you covered Burning Man.
Right.
What were your general impressions of Burning Man?
I really liked Burning Man. So this is my first time because Jenny Kane, who normally covers it, is pregnant this year, so she didn't want to go and put anything in jeopardy. So I covered it, and it was
really fun. She's a great reporter, by the way. I want to shout out to Jenny Kane.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Like, it's a big shadow to try to, it's a lot of Burning Man shoes to try to fit on.
Right.
Or sandals, I guess, or whatever it is, or maybe barefoot. But in any case, I liked it a lot. It was a lot different than people set it up to be. A lot of folks, I think, have the impression that it's like a drug raging orgy mess, but it's really not. I mean, it's a lot of it is just like rows and rows of RVs and cars parked and people just trying to have fun. And in some ways, it's really interesting to see what happens when people all have a collective week off together from work. And what do they do with that week off? Do they explore? Do they do things they're not used to doing? Do they create art? Do they just hang out with friends? I mean, it's really a big mixture of all that. I would definitely go back. It was really fun.
One last question real quickly. Will it stay in the Black Rock Desert, or are there any plans to move it to another location, because of the issues with the police and things like, especially with the police stopping people looking for drugs, things like that?
As far as we know, you know, things can always change. As far as we know, they don't have plans to move it, other than their way future plans to probably use Fly Ranch, but that's not like an imminent thing coming up. But as far as we know, they're planning to keep it in Nevada, and the police were not as much of an issue this year as people thought, and the number of arrests and stops were actually still pretty low. Like, I think we actually have more arrests during our beer crawls in a given period of couple days or a 24-hour period than they have in 7 days.
Huh.
So the crime rate, like, per capita is pretty low.
Okay. Mike, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah.
You can read all of Mike Higdon's stuff on the Reno Gazette Journal, and we'll be right back with our Power Pundit panel right after these few words.
Dean Heller made a promise to Nevada.
I cannot support a piece of legislation that takes insurance away from hundreds of thousands of Nevadans.
But when Donald Trump threatened Dean Heller, he caved. Here's what that means to Nevada.
In 2003, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Under Dean Heller's plan, I could be denied coverage.
I was 45 years old and I had a stroke. I would have been in debt for the rest of my life.
As long as Dean Heller is in office, I am afraid.
SMP is responsible for the content of this ad.
We will not come out against it. We have not spent a dime to fight it. We will not spend a dime to fight it.
That is an Envy Energy lie from the CEO. Envy Energy is spending $30 million to defeat Question 3. Because the more you pay, the more the Envy Energy monopoly profits from you. The Review Journal called their No on 3 campaign fear-mongering propaganda.
We will not spend a dime to fight it.
$30 million. Worth of lies. Break up with Envy Energy's monopoly by voting yes on question 3.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And welcome back to our All-Star Pundit panel. Let me introduce the group, a great group, I must say. First, we have Robin Reedy, Executive Director for the National Alliance on Mental Health of Nevada. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Next, we have John Sandy IV, Lobbyist Argentum Partners.
Thank you.
And last but not least, Susan Fisher, Vice President, Government Affairs Group for McDonald Corona Wilson. Great bunch of people today. What I wanted to start out with is kind of a sad story, is that Verita Prothero Black, she's running for public administrator, had her sign defaced in a way that some people would think that it is racist. She is African American. She's a former staffer for Senator John Ensign. She's been around politics in Nevada for many years and is very well liked. But people really got upset about this defacing of her sign. Robin, what did you think of that?
I was horrified by it, not only because, you know, she is of African American descent and it was clearly black-faced out, but also because she's a woman. And I guess I'm just really tired of watching this inciting these differences among us, and it's just so insulting. I mean, it's childish to behave like that to a woman and a person of color.
Well, what do you think, John, should happen to the person if caught? Well, I guess they have to start. You can't chop off his thumbs like a former Las Vegas mayor Goodman suggested one time. But what about this? What are your thoughts?
Well, I first saw it over the weekend on social media, and I was horrified, saddened. I don't know that there's a good enough word to it. I mean, this so transcends the political bickerings that we've had over the last several months with elections coming. I mean, this is a really cultural issue, and I love this community more than anything. It's always been my home and in my heart and physically, and I always give it the benefit of the doubt and think that we just have such beautiful people here, and to see that we have individuals that are capable of such hatefulness and hurtfulness, it really tore me up, and I still am very upset by it.
Susan, what does this do for women who want to enter politics? Do you think it might stop and give them pause, or?
No, I think it would empower them. And I don't see it so much as a male-female issue. It's to have that sort of crap happening in today's world, in this country, is just absolutely intolerable. We can't tolerate that sort of racism. And I do hope they find the person or persons who did this, and I do hope that they punish them to the full extent of the law. If they're doing this sort of thing under the cover of darkness, what else are they doing? And it is a very sad statement. But I think it would just empower more people to say, you're not gonna hold me back.
You know, when I ran in Douglas County, I still so clearly remember going up to a house and having a very elderly man in front of his granddaughter and what appeared to be his great-granddaughter say, I ain't voting for no woman. That wasn't that long ago.
That wasn't that long ago.
And that was face-to-face. So,
wow. That's unbelievable.
And then, yeah, I guess that my point is that this is a cultural thing, and whether it's sexism or racism, I mean, in 2018, we really have to get over some of these things that should be in the past. And you know, and some people were criticizing folks for quoting Dr. Martin Luther King too often, but I really thought, you know, the first thing I thought was, when are we going to get to a point where we judge people based on the quality of their character, not the color of their skin or their gender or whatever it is? Like, let's treat people with respect and dignity that they deserve, and hopefully they'll do the same for us in return.
Susan, but here we are in 2018, but this sexism, this racism, it seems to be amped up in politics rather than going the other way.
It seems to be, yeah. You know, I will say that as a woman, I've had a lot of male lobbyists and legislators who would normally come up and give me a hug will go, is that all right if I give you a hug? You know, they'll stop and ask first, it's of course. So there is the sensibility. People are thinking now, at least. And it is still rampant because it's just a generational thing, and maybe we won't ever be able to get rid of it in this world. I don't know.
But well, and I was going to say, I mean, I've done a lot of reflecting on the question. I'm not so sure politics is necessarily a reflection of our society, of our community. Politics are trying to use certain preconceived things to get people emotional about an election so that they are more likely to come out and vote for a candidate or another. I don't necessarily think politics is looking at our community as a society and saying, we know how those people are, so we're going to try and attract them. I think that we're a lot more than that, and politics is trying to bring us back a step. And that's just the nature of the beast. We have two candidates that are trying to get people emotional. And I think for the most part it works, and it gets us angry, and everybody this time of year and during election season gets like this. But once the elections subside, I think we go back to being neighborly, hopefully, and more of a community and move forward.
Okay, well, that's where we got to wrap it up. Did you have a quick thing to say?
Soundbite politics, and that's what it's creating.
Okay, well said. We'll be right back after these few words to wrap up this edition of Nevada Newsmakers.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching. Remember, you can catch this show and all previous shows on Nevada Newsmakers, on NevadaNewsmakers.com, and you can download any podcasts on iTunes or any other device you'd like to download on.